There's a lot to say grace over there. Let's move on to our second reading, 1 Samuel chapter 14. First Samuel 14, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahia, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Seneh. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thy heart, thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, Come up unto us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, Number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahia, Bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, Withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about. Even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day, and the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen, calves, and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people sin against the Lord in that they eat with the blood." And he said, "Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day." And Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood." And all the people brought every man his ox, and with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." And they said, "Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Then said the priest, "Let us draw hither unto God." And Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, "Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die." But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, "Be ye on one side, I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side." And the people said unto Saul, "Do what seemeth good unto thee." Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, "Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son." And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what thou hast done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die." And Saul said, "God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." And the people said unto Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered an host and smote the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. Now, the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishui and Melchishua, and the names of his two daughters were these. The name of his firstborn, the firstborn, was Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. The name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. And Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. And there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So a 52-verse chapter, fairly lengthy. Who said the Bible is not an action-adventure book? It most certainly is. So let's try to get a spiritual understanding of some of the things, not all, but some of the things, the important, the high points that are here. So in the first portion, it's a little bit difficult to understand in that, is this a more detailed recounting of Jonathan's victory back in chapter 13, or is it a different scenario? And I believe it's a different scenario. In chapter 13, Jonathan had 1,000 men with him, and Saul had 2,000 men with him. Here we have Saul having 600 men with him, and Jonathan has, just him and his armor bearer. So I think it's a different scenario. It's another garrison of the Philistines. And so notice, once again, Saul is cooling his heels under a pomegranate tree. By the way, the Hebrew word for that, you will recognize it, Rimmon. Whenever you see Rimmon in the English Bible, that's the word pomegranate in the Hebrew. So it's under a tree, Rimmon. Pomegranate tree. Sometimes it's just written as Rimmon, a pomegranate. It's understood that he's not under a single pomegranate. It's a whole tree. Okay. So the first part of this is difficult. The reason it's difficult is because Jonathan is outdoing the work of Saul, and Saul is back under the pomegranate tree in Migron. And who does he have with him? Ahia, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And so we have an apostate king, right? A deserted priest and a deserted king have banded themselves together against the Philistines. And it is no doubt then, no wonder, that Jonathan is out doing the work. And so Jonathan is out with his armor bearer. Instead of Saul repenting and coming to the Lord and giving up the kingdom or providing for a smooth transition, Saul has doubled down. What has he done? Well, he hasn't learned. Earlier in the book of Samuel, we heard that whenever they were scared, they brought the Ark of the Covenant out with them into the field. Well, now they're doing it with the priest. The high priest is out there. This high priest, the son of Eli, right, that is an apostate, along with King Saul. So Matthew Henry will say, he calls it, this is a deserted king courting a deserted priest. And so what Saul has done here, he's shown his hand at the beginning of this, that he does not intend to release the kingdom, but he intends rather to superstitiously keep it to himself. No one's going to take this kingdom from me. I've got the Ark of God. Right? Later on, he's going to say, no one's going to take this kingdom from me. We're all going to fast. But may I say that that is the worst military strategy that one might have. Right, even wicked Napoleon understood, as he said, the army travels on its stomach. Isn't that true? We have this song that I learned as a little boy, my mother taught me, called The Caissons Go Rolling Along. The caissons are the supply lines to get to the front where the battle is. They are as important as the men that sit on the front lines, because it brings food and ammunition to them. So one of the things we normally don't think about, being not military people ourselves, is that the logistics involved in a war are mind-boggling. When it comes to logistical support of a pitched battle over a period of time, very, very difficult to provide for that. So Saul will say, you know, we've got these artifacts with us. We've got this priest, and we've got this ephod, and we've got this Ark of the Covenant with us. Certainly, we will win the Lord's battles. He doesn't really realize that, you know, how far afield he has gone. So that's the first few verses. In verse 4, then we begin what Jonathan does between two rocks. One is named Bozez, one is named Seneh. If you are interested, you can get on the internet today and type in Bozez and Seneh, and you can find images of what archaeologists believe are the two rocks, Bozez and Seneh. And things like this are in the scripture so that it might bring the reality of them to us. These are two real rocks that Jonathan passed through. And they, you know, there's this upward tilt to them such that he went on his hands and feet. He went in a military posture unto the Philistine garrison. Notice also the faith of Jonathan and his armor bearer. They knew that it was their job to defend Israel. And they said, it doesn't really matter. There's only two of us. The Lord is able to save with many or with few, even with two. And so up they went. And they devised a way that they might know whether or not they were supposed to go up. I don't believe this is arbitrary, but as a son of the king, remember that often kings were afforded, if you will, extraordinary knowledge. And so, what do we have Jonathan saying to his armor bearer? If they say to us, come up, then we'll go and we'll know that the Lord has delivered. If they say, wait there, then we'll wait here and we'll keep ourselves in hiding. Well, what do they say? They say, come on up and we got something to show you. You know, Jonathan didn't respond, although he might have responded, no, I think we have something to show you, right? Because the Lord was with Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they slew about 20 men of that garrison and put it to the worse. And that takes us down through about verse 15. There was trembling in the host of the Philistines, that is, in the garrison among the spoilers, that two Israelites had bested 20 men of the Philistines in an acre of land. And so what had happened then is there was great fear in the Philistine host, and Saul saw that as an opportunity, but he first wanted to know who had prosecuted the beginning of that battle without his orders. So find out who's not here with us, and lo, it was Jonathan. So then, it's an interesting thing that happens. Saul says to the priest, inquire of the Lord as to whether or not we should go up. Notice, please, that Saul has not learned his lesson. He asked the priest, inquire of the Lord. He heard the noise of the Philistines, and he turns to the priest and he says, stay your hand, never mind. Again, impetuous, forward moving, without waiting upon the Lord. And so he says, stay thine hand. In other words, never mind. We don't need to call upon the Lord. We just need to act. So that same impatient and impetuous nature has not been abated at all in him. All right, so then the battle ensues, and the Lord gives them a great victory. In spite of Saul's behavior, the Lord gives them a great victory in that all of the Philistines turn on one another and they slay each other. There was a great discomfiture. That is, that there was a confusion among the Philistine army. They didn't have their uniforms on right, so they couldn't tell who was who. And the Philistines slew the Philistines, even though they massively outnumbered the Israelites. Well, that's the way you win a battle when you're outnumbered. Get your enemy to fight against itself, right? Okay, so that's what the Lord did. So the wrap-up of that is that the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Aven. All right, so that takes us down to verse 24. Now we hear about the oath. And there was an oath that Saul had placed upon his army. You know, nobody's going to eat. We're going to fast this day. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord in the midst of a battle and fast. Bad military strategy. Good for a pietist, though, right? A pietist will always substitute some excessive command of God for the reality of the situation. And so here we are. We're going to fast instead. And then what will happen is the Lord will surely grant us a victory. So notice what Saul is doing again. He's doubling down, keeping his authority rather than giving up. Commands the entire army to fast. And so Jonathan comes in. He eats the honey. His eyes are opened up. And then they tell him of the oath of his father. And Jonathan speaks the truth when he says, "My father has troubled the land." It is Jonathan that speaks the truth, not Saul. And then he goes on to say, how much more would our victory have been had we eaten a little something, had a little more energy, a little more strength in order really to rout the Philistines. Instead, they will be here to fight another day. So that's in essence what Jonathan says there. All right, so then that takes us down to verse 33. Well, not quite 33, because the people were so hungry then they began slaying animals, the spoils of the Philistines, and eating them, quote, with the blood. That is, without cooking them and properly preparing them. They ate like heathens, right? They ate with the blood. They ate it raw with the blood running out rather than picking it up off of the ground, letting the blood drain out, and then cooking it like they should have in the fire. They weren't doing that. They were eating it raw. They ate like heathens. So notice the great leadership of Saul, causing the people then to fast all the day. Then they ended up falling on the spoil like that. So Saul says, "Roll me here a stone." And they set up the stone and they set up that altar. And it says, tongue in cheek here, this is the first altar that Saul ever set up. In other words, he had not yet properly inquired of the Lord. He told the priest to stop. He had flown upon the sacrifice himself before. This is the first altar that Saul set up with any kind of propriety, in other words, that they might offer peace offerings there with the animals of their enemies, right, as the victors, and properly partake of that. But they did not. And so even in Saul's first, what might be considered a lawfully ordained act, we see that it is riddled through with unlawfulness as another sign yet to the apostate Saul. All right, so then, even beyond that, Saul says, well, we're going to keep going here. So we're going to ask counsel of the Lord, right? And that takes us to verse 37. Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? They've fled from us. Will you deliver them into our hands?" And the Lord doesn't answer him. Notice in true self-righteous fashion that Saul immediately assumes that someone else has sinned. Who has sinned that we can't get an answer from the Lord today? Beloved, it was not a sin for Jonathan to eat of that honey. It was a sin for Saul to make the oath. It wasn't Jonathan's fault that the Lord didn't answer when Saul inquired of him. It was Saul's fault in the way he led the people that day. But he won't take blame for that. Rather, he will blame Jonathan, his son, even all the way to putting him to death. Right? Because why? I've made an oath before the Lord. I can't do anything else. Again, pietism over true religion. And so the lot is taken, and Jonathan says, "I took a little honey, and so I must die." And I think Jonathan is actually speaking sarcastically to his father, who's sinning, to wake him up. And Saul says, "Absolutely, you're going to die. As the Lord liveth," he says. So he doubles down with an oath. So then, the people rescue Jonathan out of Saul's hand. And so notice that in every step forward where Saul endeavors to consolidate power and authority to himself, he only diminishes it because he seeks it not with righteousness. So it is the people that prevent the king from slaying his own son that day. You couldn't make that up either, could you? And then what happens at the end of it all? The Philistines regroup to fight another day, and the Israelites go back to their place as well. And then you have the epilogue of this scenario where Saul's kingdom is described in 47 through the end of the chapter with the people that were engaged with him in his kingdom. And that really is the chapter. It's a long chapter, yet there are some really important lessons there. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God.